May God bless this assembly this morning as we gather in His name. Greet you in the name of Jesus. Also bring greetings from our home congregation, Providence. I know that brethren from there are frequently here, so it's not a new place, and some of you have been there and been members there already. But it's where we are from. We're glad to be with you here this morning. I was blessed with the singing. Singing always inspires my heart. And again, this morning, I can say the same. The idea that God should love a sinner such as I. The idea that He sent His Son. Such wondrous love. And now He takes me to His heart, a son. The blessing that we can become part of God's family. Unworthy as we are. And undone as we are, have that privilege. And how that God makes that possible to us, and many other in the song we sang before that, fade each earthly joy, Jesus is mine. And I trust that's our testimony this morning. And I trust that that's the reason we're here today, because Jesus is mine. I find it interesting how the Spirit of God works. I asked two brethren who are sitting here this morning if they had any ideas as I was contemplating the idea of coming here to share the Word. And I asked two of them two different occasions, and neither one knew what the other one said, I don't think. But they both said the same thing, what they felt, that at least an idea. And right along with that, a subject came to my mind, and that's what I want to share this morning, and it all fit together. The title this morning is The Need We Have for Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ, I need Jesus Christ, and we cannot do without Him. We need Him. Every person who has never heard the gospel needs Jesus. And every Christian who has walked with Christ for many years and walked with the Lord and had an understanding of who God is needs Jesus. And we don't only need Him today, we have needed Him. And not only will we need Him throughout the rest of our life, when the moment comes to leave this life, we need Jesus. And through eternity, we need Jesus. And without Him, we're lost. I'd just like to open the Word this morning in Isaiah 45. And I want to use the Scripture a lot this morning, and although I don't want to weary you with turning to Scriptures, I'll probably look at a lot of them myself, but I plan to read from the Word this morning quite a bit. But we're looking primarily at the reasons why we need Jesus Christ. The need we have for Jesus Christ, which is our title. And this passage that I'm going to read first gives us the idea that there are people that are looking at everything. Images, idols of movie stars and music stars and things and possessions and fancy cars and fancy possessions. There's a great need, and people look to anything out there. But if you read this whole stretch of passages from Isaiah 40 to 46. And I said this before, and some of you may have heard me say it before, but I say it again. When I get into a spiritual time of low, and I need to find out where God is, and what kind of a God I actually have, I get to my Bible and I read Isaiah 40 to 46. And it begins to inspire that worship that the brother was speaking of in the devotional, that desire for God. And yet it shows the foolishness of looking to other things. And so we're reading here what to my mind is the heart of this whole section from Isaiah 40 to 46. And there's other wonderful verses and could read a lot in here and could preach from this passage by itself this morning. But I just want to read this. Isaiah 45 verse 20, assemble yourselves and come and draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. And there's many, many people in our generation that do exactly that. They pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared from an ancient time? Who hath told it that from that time have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Imagine that. Every knee shall bow. And we hope to see another reference to that in a little bit later in this morning's message. First question this morning is, why do we need Christ? We need Christ always. From the time of our conception, the time of our birth, we need Christ. We cannot do without Him. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. Says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Who's it talking about? It's talking about God. And right along with God, we know it's Jesus. He's right there. God said at the beginning, let us make man in our image after our likeness. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was there. He was there with God, and He is God. For thou hast possessed me in my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lost parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. We need Jesus Christ from our conception and throughout life. We need Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, for by Him were all things created, that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And that includes you and I here today. That includes you and me. We need Jesus. He created us. We have a responsibility before Him. And without Him, we can do nothing. Jesus said that in John chapter 15, if I'm correct. Without me, ye can do nothing. Why do we need Christ? Point number two, we need Him to guide our steps throughout life. Job said, He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But God knows the way of His people throughout life. And we need that. We need Christ to guide us. We know the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And it goes down through that passage and says the things that the shepherd does. And who is the shepherd? Jesus in John 10 tells us who the shepherd is. Jesus said, I am the shepherd of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we all stand in need of Him this morning. And then it says, in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You and I need Christ from our conception through eternity. We need Him. We cannot do without Him. We must have Him from our conception and throughout eternity. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you want to live for Christ today, you need Christ. If you want to know how to do it, you need Him. You need Him to help you start, and you need Him throughout your whole experience. Because He is the way, He is the truth, and He's life. He is all. Jesus is the only one, number three. Jesus is the only one who can save us from sin. The only one that can save us from sin. John the Baptist, as he saw Jesus walking, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And that sin of the world is everywhere in the world. But that sin can be taken from your heart and mine. And we can receive a new heart and we can receive a new mind because Jesus makes it possible and takes that sin away and makes us new creatures in Christ. "Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new." This is possible because God takes the sin away through the blood of his son Jesus. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that is possible because Jesus makes it that way. And it is, again, a reason why we need Jesus, the need we have for Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, a very, very important passage. And the person could preach this again from the book of John. And one thing I just love to do is read John chapter 3 when you have Nicodemus there. And read John chapter 4 where you have the Samaritan woman and her encounter with Christ. You read what happened to the impotent man in John chapter 5, a very favorite Bible story of mine. You read what happens in chapter 6 and chapter 7 when Jesus teaches that he is the bread of life. And that how so many people, when he preached the doctrine of the kingdom of God, and those two passages became offended at what he said. Then you read about the need for the poor lady in John chapter 8, the woman taken in adultery. You read about the blind man in John chapter 9. And then you read some of them wonderful passages. John chapter 10, you read about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus as Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And you see that every one of those people, and through all that book of John, needed Christ. And they needed him desperately, and without him they could not have done and would not have happened in their lives what happened. But they needed Jesus, and you and I need Jesus too. We're in John chapter 3 now, and verse 15. "For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And you and I are either in one of two categories this morning. Either we have believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or we have not believed on him. And it is God's desire that we would believe on him. For this reason he sent Jesus to the earth to give his life on the cross of Calvary for our salvation. We need Christ this morning, and without him we can do nothing. Matthew chapter 11, verses that are very, very precious, says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Verses that again show us that Jesus' invitation is for us. We need him. We need him so much. And he invites us to come to him. He invites us to learn of his ways. He invites us to give ear to him. He invites us to be part of his family. In spite of our unworthiness, in spite of our human weakness, he invites us to come to him. Matthew 20, verse 28, it says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." You and I every day stand in need of the ministering of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in our lives. Without it, we are lost. Without it, we have nothing. But Jesus came to minister to us and to give his life a ransom for you and I and for all men who believe on him. If we take this over into the book of Acts, there's some very powerful verses here and verses that show that we need Christ. We need to have him. And we're working on the point right now. He is the only one who saves us from sin. The only one. This is our third point here about why we need Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 30 says here, "I'll write on that. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. And then it goes on and says that they should believe and repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God should call. And we need Christ. We need him to save us from sin. And I wanted to keep reading there. It tells us to save ourselves from this untoward generation, the generation that is not toward God, but is against God. And either this morning our faces are toward the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it's toward the world and the darkness and the sin. And either we are on our way heavenward, or we're on our way toward hell. We're on one of two roads this morning, and there's no other road. But we have the need for Jesus Christ every day to be able to stay right. And I tell people sometimes, they wonder about their Christian experience, and they say, well, I haven't been a Christian a long time. And I don't know very many of the Bible doctrines, but the question is your face toward the light? Is your face open toward the gospel? Or are you looking for the things of the world? It doesn't matter which rung of the ladder you're on. If you've been a Christian many years and have attained some heights that some people have not, but it depends which way you're going on the ladder. If you're going up or if you're going down. It has a lot to do with it. It doesn't matter exactly how much attainment and how much understanding you have. It matters which direction you're going in life. We need Jesus Christ. Do we love him? Do we serve him the way we should? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. One of the most powerful verses in this passage says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. One name, the name of Jesus. There is no salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Powerful words, the Apostle Peter said here. Powerful words. Words that you and I need to take heed to. Words that without which we will not be saved. The need we have for Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Because Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. He hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. This Jesus that was slain and on a cross, who gave his life on a cross, and as that lifeblood flowed from there, and all who believe in him can have eternal life. That we need this morning. And we need Jesus to save us from sin. We need him. There is no other way that we can take care of our sin problem apart from the work of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. Why do we need Christ? Point number 4. We need Jesus to intercede for us. Jesus needs to intercede for us before God. Not the Virgin Mary, not some other saint. We need Jesus. We need him. In the Old Testament, there was a man who had the desire to get close to God. He was in a very difficult time in his life, Job was. And we read in Job that he says, oh, I just wish there was someone that would stand between me and God at this moment and be able to explain to me why I'm in this predicament that I'm in. I've lost all my possessions. I've lost all of my children. I have lost all of my health. And here I am in this wretched condition. And oh, if there would be someone to put their hand, as it were, on the shoulder of God and put their hand on my shoulder and bring some kind of a connection between us. And it was something that Job longed for. But it was before Mount Calvary. And it was before the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was before Bethlehem. It was before the coming of the Holy Ghost. It was in Old Testament times. And he desired this. And he, by faith, believed that someday he would see Jesus. And he had, with that faith, he lived. And he hung on to that through the toughest times of his life. But what does it say here? I just want to give us a little picture of how it is for a person to have this desire to get somehow, get close to God and find Jesus, find some help. And then maybe you and I find ourselves this way sometimes. Job says, "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him." How are you going to answer to God? What could you tell God anyway? And we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any days man betwixt us that he may lay his hand upon us both. There's no one, Job said. He didn't know how to get it. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but is not so with me. And Job realized that he didn't know where to go. He realized that he's in this very deplorable situation. And yet, what was he supposed to do? And what answer was he supposed to be able to have? He was all beside himself, not knowing what to do. But Jesus is our answer this morning. Praise his holy name. Go over to the book of Hebrews. When it talks about the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as a high priest who stands between God and man, one who is there, one who intercedes for us. And a lot could be said about this very point. A lot could be said. We could have a sermon on this morning. But I'm just again and again impressed with these verses. Verses that speak to my heart every time I read them. It says here, neither is there any creature, and I'm in chapter 4, verse 13 of Hebrews, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And there's a God in heaven that knows everything about you and I. Knows every thought that we've thought throughout this past week. He knows where we came from and he knows where we're going. He knows that. It's all open before him. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, it says. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It says here, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you ever have that feeling? You have a time of need? Do you know this morning that if you feel that way, did you feel that your situation is such that you do not have any answers, there is one who can help? Do you realize that? Do you realize there's someone that cares about that? Jesus is there for us, our great high priest, the one that stands between God and man. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, some wonderful verses here. Some wonderful verses for you and I. Proving as we're working on the point, Jesus intercedes before God for us. Another point to reinforce this truth says in verse 3 of chapter 2, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. It is God's will that all come to repentance. And to come to a knowledge of the truth, God wants you and I to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator. One God and one mediator, it says, between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. I'm just going to say it in Spanish because I love it the way it says it in Spanish, and some of you understand that better. Porque hay un solo Dios entre Jesucristo y el hombre. Jesucristo, hombre. I just love that. There's one man between God and man, Jesus Christ, the man. The God-man, God's man, who took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and suffered and died and gave blood so that you and I could have eternal life. I'm so blessed with that. And he is the one who stands and intercedes when you, as a mother, or in a bad day, don't feel good, children are sick, having a hard time, and Jesus is interested in you. You as a young person going through whatever struggle it might be, physical changes or whatever it could be. I mean, social relationships that go totally awry. Jesus cares about you. You're in the depth of a vice or a struggle or a sin, and Jesus Christ cares about that. He was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. That's the God we serve. That's the Jesus that died for us. That's the one we need to be victorious. We are so dependent on Christ that throughout our lives, and as we try to do some little work for the Lord, and to pay Him, as it were, to show our love to Him, and we need Him so much, Jesus just simply says, without me, ye can do nothing. So we need him. We need him even to do the most minute task for his glory. We need him. Even the very breath that we breathe, we need God. And so many people today live their lives without taking into consideration the fact that they need God. And that is part of the reason why they're so accountable. Because God gives them life, and God gives them opportunity, and God gives them health. They might ruin their health by vices and things, but God still gives them the life that they have. And that's how God cares for all. He sends His Son on the just and the unjust. He sends rain on the godly and the ungodly. He treats all men in such a way, and He shows His love. A lot of verses could be quoted to prove that. Why do we need Christ? Because Jesus gives us a testimony to share with others. We need that. What would you do without a testimony as a Christian this morning? You know what Peter said one time in the book of Acts? He said he looked at a man who was in dire need, a man that was there asking for alms. You never notice that? You ever see somebody out shaking their can, asking for alms? Did you ever see that ever in your life? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And let me tell you, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have much to share. Because money is soon spent, and we all need money to live and exist. And most of us have had bills this past week, and we'll have this coming week. We need silver and gold, a little bit of it at least. But when it comes to something that really matters for the heart and life of a needy individual, we need Jesus. Because it really is about the only thing He can share that does Him eternal good. And that comes many times by a simple word of testimony. You know, you walk up to somebody and they say, I'm just in bad shape. And they might need $5 to get themselves a little something to eat. Maybe you can help them with that if you have it. But the thing they need more than anything else is a word of testimony. You know, I was there one day. I had this problem in my life. And thank God He saved me. Thank God I was going through this struggle and Jesus gave me power. That testimony you can share. And without Jesus, you don't have anything to share. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And you need Jesus to be able to share a testimony. Another point I would like to look at. What would we do without Christ when we leave this life? Every one of us, if the world exists another 100 years, every one of us sitting here will die. There might be some lucky little ones here that might live 110 years old. But within 100 years, if Jesus doesn't come before that, we'll all be dead by then. And when that time comes, We need Christ as we leave this life. We need Him. We need Him in the day of judgment. We need Him in eternity. It is appointed unto a man once to die, but after that, the judgment. These are things we face. These are realities that are before us. How would it be for Jesus to say to us, as He said to some in Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." Can you imagine such horrible words? "I never knew who you were." You know what? We got to find out who Jesus is and where He is and how to get right with Him, because we need Him in judgment day. We need Him as the moment comes for us to pass out of this life into the next life. Because it's coming. It's coming for you and I, for every one of us. And Jesus either knows us this morning or He doesn't know us. We need Jesus. We do need Him. Acts chapter 17, and I preached on this in a recent time that I was here, this whole passage, but I just got to pull out two verses in this passage when it's talking about God and our responsibility to Him. The times of this ignorance God winked at. There was a time when God did not hold mankind as accountable as He does today, but now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Imagine that. There is a day in which you and I will need to stand before God and give an account. And He has chosen Jesus Christ as the judge. Philippians chapter 2, it's right close by there. Philippians chapter 2. And I said I would refer to the verses like this as we read in the very beginning. Notice this: "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." One name through which there is salvation. One name. "Given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven," as a brother was speaking of in Revelation this morning, "things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." When our time comes to leave this earth, we need Jesus. When we get to judgment to give account of our deeds, we need Jesus. And as we enter the portals of eternity, unending, forever and ever, we need Jesus. We need Him. The day of judgment for us will be a personal encounter with our very best friend, or the sad experience of being condemned by the judge of all the earth. And that judge of the earth will do right on that day. The day of judgment, I say again, will be a personal encounter with our best friend, or the sad experience of being condemned by the judge of all the earth, who will do right. God knows those that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's God's command to us. In conclusion, I'd just like to mention a few scriptures. One is a very, very precious verse. It says, "And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Do you want eternal life this morning? Do you want to have assurance of salvation? This is eternal life, life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. 1 John chapter 5 says here, in verse 11, some very wonderful words. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12 is one verse in the English Bible where every word is a one-syllable word. Verse 12, John, 1 John 5, 12, it says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Every one of them is a single syllable, and yet is a most powerful message. And it is like a conclusion of what we've tried to share this morning. The need we have for Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And we either have him this morning or we don't. We're walking with him or we are not. How do you and I stand this morning? It's a question we need to answer. In conclusion, as I just wanted to point out a few things, and I'd like you just to think about these things. Money can buy. On one hand, money can buy insurance, but money cannot buy peace and security. Money can buy medical attention, but money cannot buy health. Money can buy possessions, but money cannot buy contentment and happiness. Money can buy knowledge to a certain degree, but it cannot buy wisdom. Money can buy a house, but money cannot buy a home. Money can buy a Bible, good thing, but it cannot buy eternal life. Money can buy a crucifix, but money cannot buy a Savior. And all the things that I listed on this side here, peace, security, contentment, happiness, wisdom, a godly home, eternal life and a Savior, you only can get that from Jesus. You can only get it from him. There's no other way you can get it, and you can't get it with money. Just want to run another little quote by you that has been very precious to me. You can get to heaven without money. You can get to heaven without health. You can get to heaven without possessions. You can get to heaven without fame. You can get to heaven without education, but you cannot get to heaven without Christ. You cannot. No one can. I can't, you can't. No one can. You can get to heaven without money, without health, without possessions, without fame, without education, but you cannot get to heaven without Christ. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If we live our lives without Christ, we will need to spend eternity without him. If we walk in this with Christ in this life and are faithful unto death, Jesus will be with us in the hour of death. In the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus will be with us in the hour of death and take us to be with him forever in eternity. Do you have the Son this morning? Do you have life? I trust these few thoughts this morning help us to see the need we have of Jesus Christ. May God bless each one. Let's kneel for prayer.